Okay. Thank you again for coming to the last part of the series on the ideology of religious Zionism. And in order to appreciate where we are right now, in order to appreciate the shiur that we're going to discuss, the topic we're going to discuss, you don't have to remember everything we learned in the past couple of shiurim, but just to give you guys a brief review of what we talked about. In the first shiur, we talked about the three oaths. The Gemara in Ksuvis mentions three oaths, and one of them is that B'nai Yisrael are not allowed to go to Eretz Yisrael Bechomo. They're not allowed to go with Bechomo, and Moses explained that to me, and they're not allowed to go with a strong hand. And the Satmar Rebbe said, we see based on here that you're not allowed to go to Eretz Yisrael before Hashem brings you into Eretz Yisrael. And any effort to do so would be against the entire Torah. That's what the Satmar Rebbe's opinion is. Now we talked about the different approaches. How do you argue on the Satmar Rebbe? Some people say that, you know, the three oaths don't apply anymore. Or some people say that when the nations give us permission, it's an exception to everything we've been talking about. That was the first year. And the second year we talked about, can the land be built by so-called sinners? One of the Satmar Rebbe's claims was that even if this is what the pioneers, the secular pioneers were doing is correct, the very fact that they're not religious and that they're actually breaking perhaps some Torah laws by creating the country of Israel means that it's illegitimate, because he proves based on different sources, or he tries to prove that you can't merit people who are considered evil. And therefore, if we continue the state of Israel, it would be giving merit, it would be giving reward to the people who are not just not religious, but people who are anti-religious. And the Satmar Rebbe thought that we couldn't do that. And we talked about different approaches. How do we approach that from a Zionist perspective? One thing we said was perhaps the difference between in Eretz Yisrael versus outside Eretz Yisrael. That was all based on Gemaras. We talked about that even if things are less than ideal, doesn't mean that they're necessarily illegitimate. And we talked about the approach of Rav Kook, who said that, yes, one aspect of these people is that they are anti-religious, but there's another aspect, perhaps deep down in their souls, what they're doing is for the sake of their brothers and sisters of Klal Yisrael, B'nai Yisrael. And therefore, we should not dismiss what they're doing. They're really on a higher level than us to some degree. And the third shiur, we talked about Mashiach ben Yosef. Mashiach ben Yosef, who is in addition to Mashiach ben David, who is going to prepare our souls, the spiritual aspects of B'nai Yisrael, ready for the Geula. We had Mashiach ben Yosef, who is going to prepare the physical aspects of B'nai Yisrael and the physical land of B'nai Yisrael. And then we talked about last week, is Geula, is redemption a slow and natural process? The Satmar Rebbe said, it can't be a natural process. Look at Yitzias Mitzrayim. Yitzias Mitzrayim was very miraculous. There is 10 plagues. Hashem's presence was so obviously felt. So too the final redemption. And we talked about different sources that indicate the exact opposite, that the final redemption will not be like Yitzias Mitzrayim. It'll be rather slow and natural. And we gave different reasons for why this is true. And all this brings us to the last topic is on this shiur series, although there's a lot more to talk about. The last topic we're going to discuss is, do you require tshuva? Does B'nai Yisrael require tshuva in order to merit the redemption? Now, we already talked about, can people who are not religious or anti-religious contribute to the building of the country of Israel? But this is a slightly different question. It's not, can people who are irreligious contribute to the country? It's whether B'nai Yisrael, the Jewish people as a whole, has to do tshuva, has to repent in order for Mashiach to come. That is the topic that we're going to discuss. And this is very related to the holiday, the Chag of Shavuos, which we're going to be talking, which we're going to be celebrating in just a few days. The Pasuk in Parshas Yisro, in introducing Kabbalah Satorah, just a reminder that everyone, please mute their screens, mute your computers if they get a chance. The Pasuk in Parshas Yisro says, Vayisu Mirafidim v'yivo midbar Sinai. B'nai Yisrael traveled from Rafidim and they arrived at Har Sinai. And And the Mefarshim wonder, why does it say they came from Rephidim to Har Sinai? The last pasuk in the previous parsha already told me that they were encamping in Rephidim. So why does it have to say they traveled from Rephidim? We already know that. And the Mechilta on this pasuk comments, it's to tell me an important lesson. To tell me that just like in Rephidim, they camped there with tshuva, so too, when they came to Har Sinai, it was with tshuva. And there seems to be a very close connection between tshuva, repenting, and Kabbalah Satorah. It seems to be a prerequisite. And that makes a lot of sense. This whole time period that we've been in the past couple of weeks of Sfira Sa'omer is really preparing for Kabbalah Satorah through working on ourselves and perfecting ourselves through tshuva. Not only that, the Nefesh HaChayim brings down that before a person sits down to learn Torah, every time he's supposed to pause for a moment and really do tshuva and really contemplate if he's fitting to learn the Torah. Because tshuva is a prerequisite for not just receiving the Torah at Har Sinai, but it's a prerequisite for learning the Torah each and every day. You can't compare the Torah learned through tshuva to the Torah learned that's without tshuva. And the same tshuva that is so essential for Har Sinai and for Limud HaTorah is the topic of this week's shiur. Does B'nai Yisrael as a whole have to do tshuva in order to merit redemption? Because if they do, it seems like we're in a bit of a difficult situation. Because no matter how amazing and how flourishing our communities are, overall, there are much more unaffiliated Jews. There are more unaffiliated Jews than affiliated Jews. And therefore, it's a little bit of a scary thought to say that B'nai Yisrael as a whole needs to do tshuva in order to merit the redemption. It seems like we have a lot of work to do. And that's taking into account all the amazing work that all the Kiruv organizations are doing. But the amount of work that they're doing, we're also have to take into account at the same time the amount of people that we're losing to intermarriage. And therefore, it's incumbent upon us to figure out, are we working hard enough to bring the redemption? Is tshuva the necessary step needed in order to bring the redemption? So I'm going to share with you on my screen again. You don't have to look at the screen. It says the host has disabled the attendee screen sharing. So I'm just going to text Rabbi Trump right now to try to get him to change that. One second, I apologize for this delay. But in the meantime, okay, we're not going to be able to see the Mar Makomos, but you can listen to them. I'm not sure if people are going to look at them anyways. But we'll start. I'll tell you the Makoros out loud. And then if Rabbi Trump fixes this, he makes me the host, then I could share my screen with everyone else here. But in the meantime, we'll begin at in source number one. You guys can't see this. We have the Satmar Rebbe. The Satmar Rebbe's claim was as follows, and this is really the basis of the whole shiur. The Satmar Rebbe says, whoever thinks that redemption is not dependent on repentance, whoever thinks that we could be redeemed without doing tshuva, he says, the Satmar Rebbe says, he's thinking against the psukim, and he denies all the Torah. He's kofur kol Torah kula, said the Satmar Rebbe. Not just that he's making a mistake, but he's against the whole entire Torah. That's what the Satmar Rebbe's claim is. And let's just see, based on how we always start these shiurim, we look at the Gemaras, we look at Chazal, and try to figure out if what the Satmar Rebbe, what's based on, and try to figure out any counter arguments that we can make to that claim. The first Gemara I wanted to talk about with you is the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Sadi Zion, Amid Aleph. The Gemara says, in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, talks about the generation of Mashiach. And he says, the generation, Doras Sheben David Ba, the generation which Mashiach comes, Tamidi Chachamim Mismatim, there will be very few Torah scholars. Very few Torah scholars. So if you asked me, I would say very few Torah scholars means it's an indicative of the fact that perhaps the nation as a whole is not exactly where they're supposed to be when we're in a state of tshuva. Then there's a lot of Torah learning and there's a lot of Tamei Nechum. The fact that the Gemara says that when Mashiach comes, there's going to be very few Torah scholars would indicate to me that you don't necessarily have to do tshuva before the redemption. Let's look at another Gemara. The Gemara on the same page in Sanhedrin Tzadi Zayin Amar Aleph says in the name of Rabbi Noah Roy that the door Sheben David Ba Bo Na'arim Yalbinu Pnei Zakenim. The generation that Mashiach comes, the young ones, the young people will embarrass the elders. Vizakenim Yamduv Nina Arim. And the old people will stand in front of these young people. Ubaskama Ba'ama. And a daughter will stand in front of her mother, and a daughter-in-law in front of her mother-in-law. Basically, the Gemara describes a lot of chutzpah. People are going to stand up to people who they're normally supposed to respect, a person to his parent, a person to his parents-in-law, youngers to elders. It sounds to me that the generation that Mashiach is going to come is not the best generation. It's not the strongest generation. It sounds like we don't need Mashiach. On the contrary, we're going to be on a very low state. And not only that, but the Gemara also talks about, in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, the door, Ein ben David ba elo bedor shakulu zakai okulu chayiv. Rabbi Yochanan in the Gemara in Sanhedrin gives us two different options of how Mashiach is going to come. One, the whole entire nation will be worthy of the redemption. Or two, the opposite extreme is that the generation will not be worthy of redemption. But it seems like it's very plausible that we're not worthy of redemption, and that's how Mashiach will come. We don't have to be in such a high state. We could be on a dor shekulo is not zachai. We don't merit the redemption, but we're going to get it anyways. So if we stopped at those Gemaras, we would say simply, I don't know where the Satmar Rav is exactly coming from. Where does he say that we need to do tshuva before the redemption? But the truth is that there's a Gemara that says explicitly not like this. Not do I mean they don't say like this, but there's actually, it brought up a machlokas in the Gemara on our exact topic. The Gemara says, Omar Rav, machlokas between Rav and Shmuel. Rav says, very important, and this is the base where everything gets off from this Gemara. Rav says, kalu kol akitzim, all the end times that the prophets predicted of the times of Mashiach have already passed, they already finished. It's only now all we have to do is have tshuva. And if we have to have tshuva, then Mashiach will come. So the opinion of Rav in the Gemara is explicit. This is the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Tzadi Zayin, that Mashiach is only going to come when we do tshuva. However, Shmuel in that Gemara argues. Shmuel says as follows. Shmuel Amar, Dayo lo'avel shiyamod be'avelo. It's enough for the mourner to stand in his mourning. Now, Rashi over there explains this means one of two things. One, it means it's enough for Hashem. Hashem doesn't want to wait any longer for us to do tshuva, and therefore, Mashiach's going to come without us doing tshuva. Or option number two is that it's enough for Bnei Yisrael. Bnei Yisrael has suffered so much that they don't need tshuva anymore. Mashiach's going to come without tshuva as well. So that's the Gemara, Machlokas in the Amoraim between Rav and Shmuel. Now the Gemara links this Machlokas to a Machlokas in the Tanoim, to an earlier Machlokas between Rebbe Elezer and Rebbe Yeshua. The Gemara says, Kitanoi, this Machlokas Amoraim is really a Machlokas Tanoim. Rebbe Elezer Omer im Yisrael Osin Tshuva Nigalin. Rebbe Elezer says, like Rav says, that if Bnei Yisrael does tshuva, if they repent, then they're going to be redeemed. And if they don't do tshuva, ain't nigalim, they're not going to be redeemed. They're not going to have, Mashiach's not going to come. Amr le Rabbi Yeshua, but Rabbi Yeshua says to Rabbi Elezer, Im ein osin tshuva ein negalin. No, I disagree. Sorry, I read that wrong. Im ein osin tshuva ein negalin. You really think that if they don't do tshuva, they're not going to be redeemed? It says Rabbi Yeshua. El HaKadosh Baruch Hu maimin lehen melech shegzirosav kashos kehama and v'yisrael osin tshuva u'machzurin lemutav. Rather, they don't have to do tshuva. Hashem's going to make it so hard on the Jewish people if they don't do tshuva that there's going to be a king that arises as bad as Haman was in the days of the Purim story and is going to basically force Bnei Yisrael to do tshuva. Things will be so hard for them that they're going to do tshuva out of desperation. And notice that this machlokas in the Tanaim is not exactly like this machlokas in the Amoraim. According to the Amoraim, Shmuel's opinion was that we don't need Mashiach at all. And the parallel to that is that Rabbi Yeshua, it's not that we don't need tshuva at all, but it's that we don't have to actively go out and try to do tshuva, because if we don't, we're going to do tshuva anyways, because Hashem is going to make us do tshuva out of desperation, out of the hard times that we're living in. And just to clarify, everyone agrees that if we do tshuva, if we do tshuva, that's going to bring Mashiach closer. It's going to cause Mashiach to happen earlier. The Gemara elsewhere says that if we merit it, Mashiach comes early. All Rabbi Yeshua and Shmuel are saying is that we don't need to do tshuva. It's not like things are holding and waiting for things to happen until we do tshuva. Eventually, Mashiach is going to come no matter what. So this question that we started out with, does Bnei Yisrael need to do tshuva in order to be redeemed, is explicitly addressed in the Gemara and Sanhedrin. And it's a debate between, on one level, Rav and Shmuel in the Amoraim, and Rabbi Elezer and Rabbi Yeshua in the Tanaim. Now, it seems like an interesting question, but how do we paskin whenever we have a machlokas, a debate in the Gemara? We have to figure out how do we paskin. Now, this question is very interesting to say, how do we paskin? Because we're not talking about a halacha l'maisa question. We're not talking about a practical halacha. We're talking about what will it be like in the future. Will Bnei Yisrael be redeemed if they don't do tshuva? It's very hard to say, to paskin, which is right. I would have thought that we just wait and see what happens. Obviously, everyone agrees that doing tshuva is better than not doing tshuva. But nevertheless, the Rishonim, the Poskim, and the Achronim all take stands on this matter. And they do try to paskin, try to rule on this matter. And it's very important, because if we hold like Shmuel and Rabbi Yeshua, then the Samarav is wrong. The Samarav is incorrect. We don't need to do tshuva for us to be redeemed, for Mashiach to come. But if Rav is correct, or Rabbi Elezer is correct, then the Samarav is correct. The Samar Rebbe is right. We can't possibly be living in the Eschalta de Geula, in the Ikfas de Mashiach, in the early days of Mashiach, if we're very far away, at least it seems, we're very far away from our whole nation doing tshuva, living in a state of tshuva. So how do we paskin on this question? So if you ask me, if you read on in the Gemara over there, the Gemara in Sanhedrin Sadi Chesim Abayis continues the debate. It's a debate between Rabbi Elezer and Yeshua. Do we need tshuva or not? At the end of the whole conversation, the Gemara says, Vishasuk Rabbi Elezer. Rabbi Elezer was silent. Now normally, and this is said explicitly by the Yad Ramah on Sanhedrin, when someone is quiet, we generally have a principle, Shtika Kehoda. Being quiet is like you admit to the other person. So the fact that Rabbi Elezer was, it says in the Gemara that he was silent when at the end of this whole conversation, sounds like he agreed to Rabbi Yeshua that we do not need tshuva in order to be redeemed. Not only that, the Yerushalmi, the Gemara in Yerushalmi, brings the same machlokas between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yeshua with a few minor differences, as we'll note in a second. But instead of the Gemara saying Vishosik Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Elazar was silent, it says Istalik Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar left. Seemingly he left the room. And the way that at least the Korban Aida explains the Gemara over there in the Yerushalmi, that means that he eventually agreed, he stopped arguing, and he left because he realized that Rabbi Yeshua was correct, and we don't need tshuva in order to be redeemed. Now, Another reason to say that we hold like Rabbi Yeshua, that we don't need tshuva in order to be redeemed, is because whenever there's a machlokas in the Gemara between Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Elezer, the klali apsak, the rules of paskening state, we always paskin like Rabbi Yeshua. So, if we hold like Rabbi Yeshua, we don't need tshuva in order to be redeemed. So that's what I would have said without seeing everything, and that's exactly how most of the Rishonim and the Achronim actually paskin that way. We have Rashi and Yeshaya says explicitly on a pasuk that if we do tshuva, it hastens the redemption, which implies that tshuva only hastens the redemption, but it's not necessarily to allow for Mashiach to happen. Mashiach's going to happen regardless. Similarly, the Radak in Tehillim Kufches Pasuk Hey says, I quote, the redemption will happen regardless at its proper time. You don't need tshuva, whether they are deserving or not. All the Radak adds is that if they are deserving, meaning if they do tshuva, then they can hasten it. But again, the Radak and Rashi says this, and other Rishonim that I'm not going to quote, but it seems to be the dominant view amongst the Rishonim. Now, the Ramban has a slightly different approach. The Ramban actually, throughout all of his writings, seems to have a little bit of a contradictions all over the place. In some places, he implies that we need tshuva. In some places, he says we don't need tshuva. However, at least the way Rav Chaim Drukman explains the Ramban, Rav Chaim Drukman is the Rosh Yeshiva of the B'nai Akiva movement, and he has a very nice sefer called Kima Kima, which discusses this issue. And the way, at least the way that Rav Drukman explains the Ramban, he says the way to understand the Ramban is you have to understand him based on what the Ramban says in Dvarim, Perek Chavav, Pasuk Tes Zayin. There the Ramban says that we don't need tshuva, provided that we don't remove the yoke of heaven from upon ourselves. It sounds like the Ramban has a middle opinion. It's not that we don't need tshuva in order to be redeemed, and it's not like we definitely need tshuva. It's that we have to live a certain level, we have to keep a certain level of holiness. He also adds that we have to keep the ikari hadas, we have to keep the fundamentals of faith. And we don't have, and we can't remove the yoke of heaven from upon ourselves. Some explain, although this might not be, in my opinion, so muchrach in the words, is that what the Ramban means, that they have to remove the yoke of heaven from upon themselves. The Ramban means that if they go to Eretz Yisrael, if Bnei Yisrael goes to Eretz Yisrael, that already counts as not removing the yoke upon themselves. And that's what Rabbi Trump just made me the host over here. So I'm going to try to share my screen now. I wasn't able to before. Again, no pressure to look at the screen, but in case anyone wants, it's going to be, the source sheet is going to be in front of you here. It should be up there right now. Yes. So Ramban is a middle opinion, not that we need tshuva, not that we don't need tshuva, but we need to keep a certain middle ground approach in that we keep the fundamentals of faith and that we don't remove the yoke of heaven from upon ourselves. But clearly, the Ramban is an exception. Conventional wisdom, we already saw the Radak and the Rashi and other Rishonim that we didn't quote here, say explicitly that we do not need tshuva in order for Mashiach to come. And let's go down to the Achronim. The Gedolei Achronim also take a stance on this issue. The Maral says explicitly in Netzach Yisrael, Perek Lamed Aleph, that, which is source 12 on your sheet, he says, B'chol Makom Kaim Alon K'Rabbi Yeshua. Whenever you have a machlokas between Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Elazar, we always hold like Rabbi Yeshua. And that means we don't need tshuva in order for Mashiach to come. Then we go on to the Gra, the Vilna Gaon, in his Sefer Evan Shlema, Perek Yud Aleph, Os Tes, says explicitly we don't need tshuva, and he brings an amazing proof. We say in Shmona Esrei three times a day, Umevi Goel Evnei V'Neim L'man Shemo B'Yahava. We say that Hashem, we say Zocher Chas De'Avos Umevi Goel Evnei V'Neim L'man Shemo B'Yahava. Hashem should remember the loving kindness of the forefathers and bring the Redeemer to their to the to their children in his name. It sounds like it's based on the avos, the merit of the avos. And then later the Gra says, it's all based on chesed. It's not based on whether we do tshuva or not. Hashem, out of his own loving kindness, his own chesed, is going to give us, bring us Mashiach, and bring us into Eretz Yisrael. And this is also said explicitly by the Leshem Shavo V'Achloma, which is Rav Shalom Eliyashiv, Rav Yosef Shalom Eliyashiv's grandfather, one of the Gedolei Mekubalim. In the previous generation, he was Rav Kook's Rebbe in Kabbalah. And one of the master Mekubalim in the Lithuanian tradition. And he says also the final redemption is not dependent on any merit, but rather Hashem's going to give us because of the Schus Avos and the bris, the covenant that he made with Bnei Yisrael. So where, if we step back a second and ask ourselves, so what was the Sa'amar Rebbe talking about? Where did the Sa'amar Rebbe get that Mashiach only comes when we do tshuva? Yes, we already said that it's an opinion in the Gemara. Rabbi Elezer says this and Shmuel says this. But all the Achronim and the Rishonim and the Klali Hapsak seem to say explicitly that we hold like Rabbi Yeshua and like Shmuel, sorry, not like Rav, and like Shmuel, that we don't need tshuva in order for Mashiach to come. So where does the Sa'amar Rebbe come from? Where does he get this idea from? So the answer is, it's the Rambam. The Rambam seemingly holds that in order for Mashiach to come, we need Mashiach to come. In order for Mashiach to come, sorry, we need to do tshuva. Now, in order to understand the Rambam is based on the Pesukim. The Pesukim in Devarim Parak Lamed discusses the end of days. And the Pasuk says there will be after discussing the tochacha, after all these things occur to you, the pasuk says, "Habracha ve'aklala, ashenasati lefanecha, v'ashivosel levecha." You should return it to your heart. B'chol agoyim ashiyadecha, Hashem lokecha shama. And here's the main pasuk: "V'shavta ad Hashem lokecha." You will return to Hashem your God. V'shamata b'kolo, and you will listen to His voice. K'chol asher anochi mitzavcha ayom. In accordance to everything I'm commanding you today. But the Pasuk says, Vishavta ad Hashem lokecha, you will do tshuva. Now there is a bit of debate in the Mefarshim how to explain this Pasuk. Is the Pasuk a mitzvah or is the Pasuk a haftacha? Is the Pasuk telling us a commandment that we have to do tshuva in order for Mashiach to come? Or is the Pasuk saying that not a mitzvah per se, not a formal mitzvah that we have to go out and make sure we do tshuva, although obviously that's preferred. But it's just saying, at the end of the day, we will do tshuva. But regardless of how you slice it, it seems, based on these psukim, that we need to do tshuva at some point in the geula process. Now, the way the Rambam explains this, if you look at source number 16, the Rambam, which is the basis of what the Sa'amar Rebbe says, the Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva, Perek Zayin, Pasuk Hey, says, Kol ha-neviim, kulo tzivu ala tshuva, all the neviim commanded us about tshuva. Ve'ein Yisrael nigalin ela b'tshuva. We're only redeemed through tshuva. V'kvar hafticha Torah shesof Yisrael lasos tshuva. The Torah already promised us that we're going to do tshuva. B'sof galusa at the end of their exile miyad himang, and afterwards they're going to be redeemed. The Ram says we have to do, we're going to tshuva, and then we're going to be redeemed. Shenemer v'hayik yavu alecha kol advarim v'shavta ad Hashem lokecha. You will return to Hashem your God. Seemingly says explicitly, black on white, that the Torah is telling us, is informing us, that in order for you to be redeemed, you need to do tshuva. Says the Sa'amar Rebbe, based on this Rambam, we're clearly not in the Eschatz de Geula, because you look around, Bnei Yisrael, no matter how much progress we're making, we're still very far from our end goal of a nation of tshuva. And just to bring this home, the Avodas HaMelech, one of the commentators on the Rambam, says explicitly, where did the Rambam get this from? Where did the Rambam get this from? The Avodas HaMelech in source number 17 says, this is the opinion of Rebbe Elezer in the Gemara in Sanhedrin. The Rambam is paskining against all the other Rishonim and against all the Achronim. Obviously the Rambam came before the Achronim. But the Rambam is paskining like the opinion of Rebbe Elezer that in order to be redeemed, we need to do tshuva. That's the Avodas HaMelech. And source number 18, I brought a long quote from Vayel Moshe, what the Sama Rebbe talks about this, and he basically says, we're going to do tshuva. And that's what the Rambam paskins. And the Sama Rav brings another point here. He says, there's another Rambam here that will prove his point. If you look at the Rambam, it's source number 19 over here, it's Hilchos Melachim, Perek Yud Aleph, Halacha Aleph. The Rambam says, HaMelech HaMashiach, Osid Lam, Urlahachzer Malchus, Space Tav of the Yashna. It's the Melech HaMashiach who's going to return us to the days of old. So says the Sama Rebbe, that obviously if it's Mashiach who's going to bring us back, if we don't have Mashiach, if we can't identify who Mashiach is, we're clearly not living in the times of the Eschata de Geula. Now, I do think it's interesting, if you read the Rambam here, nowhere in the Rambam that the Sam Rebbe is quoting here, it's source number 19, does it say explicitly that Mashiach is going to cause us to do tshuva? That's what the Sam Rebbe says, the Rambam says. That's Mashiach who's going to cause us to do tshuva. All the Rambam actually says is that he was going to return the Malchus based David. You could interpret that to mean a very practical idea, that it's Mashiach who's going to bring back the kingdom of David. It doesn't necessarily, he's not talking about the spiritual element of what Mashiach's going to do. But anyways, from the other Rambam, it seems clear that Mashiach only comes once we do tshuva, and that's what the Sama Rebbe says, since we're not in that stage of tshuva, it can't be that we're living in the times of the Eschalta de Geula. So the question is for us, how do we understand this? We already said we could just stop and say, you know what, we hold like the other Rishonim maybe. We hold like the Rashi and the Radak and the Achronim, the Maral, the Leshem, the Vilna Gaon, who say exactly the opposite of the Rambam. But what I want to show you for the rest of this year, for a few minutes here, is that even if we take what the Rambam says, it could still not be what the Sama Rebbe is saying. Even if what the Rambam says, even if we paskin like the Rambam, that still doesn't mean we are not living in the Eschata de Geula. And I brought a couple of different ways to show this. The first way I want to show this is the Kesef Mishnah. The Kesef Mishnah, Rabbi Yosef Cairo, the author of the Shulchan Aruch, one of the main commentators on the Rambam Mishnah Torah, the Kesef Mishnah. So we already quoted the Avodas HaMelech, who brought the source of the Rambam, was from that Machlokas in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Sadi Zayin, and Aleph. And the Avodas HaMelech said that the Rambam Paskins like Rabbi Elezer. The Kesef Mishnah, however, brings a totally different source for the Rambam. And he says the Rambam's not taking a side on that Machlokas. That's not where the Rambam got this from. Where did the Rambam get this from? The Rambam got this from a different part of Shas and Perek Yom HaKippurim. Daf Pei Zayin HaMabez, the Gemara says, Gedola tshuva shemikarevis es ha-geula. Tshuva is so great in that it brings closer the redemption. So says the Kesef Mishnah, or we're saying, based on this Kesef Mishnah, the Rambam was never saying that tshuva is a prerequisite to redemption. He was just saying, and this is how some people explain the Rambam, he was just saying that it brings the Mashiach, it brings the redemption closer. Now, to be intellectually honest here, I don't think this fits in with the words of the Rambam. The words of the Rambam, if you look back here, kind of said that we're not redeemed. Ain nisona gon elo b'tshuva. We need tshuva. He didn't say that it brings the redemption closer. So although some people use this Kesef Mishnah to try to show how the Rambam is not saying what the Sama Rebbe is saying, I don't necessarily think it fits in with the words of the Rambam. But we have other approaches that we're going to go through. A very, very fascinating approach is the approach of the Turi Evan. The Turi Evan in source number 21 is Rav Aryeh Leib Ginsburg. He lived in 1695 to 1785, a classic commentary on Shas, on the Rambam. And the Rav Ginsburg here in the Turi Evan points out something that we actually mentioned in a couple of shiurim ago. And one is that it seems interesting that specifically in the realm of the final redemption, we find a lot of contradictions in the Rambam. For example, one of them we already mentioned a couple of shiurim ago is that in one place the Rambam passes like the opinion of Shmuel, that there's no difference between the days of Mashiach and the days that we live in right now, except for Sheba and Malchios. The only difference between the days of Mashiach and now, says the Rambam, says Shmuel, is that we're not going to be living under the rule of the other nations. So in one place in this Mishnah Torah, the Rambam quotes that opinion. But elsewhere, the Rambam says, like the other opinion, that the days of Mashiach are going to be miraculous. It's not just like modern day existence with the absence of being ruled under other nations. But it's going to be a miraculous, miraculous existence like the Nevi'im talked about. Why is the Rambam bringing both of these opinions? The Tur Yevin essentially says is that the reason why the Rambam contradicts himself when it comes to the idea of redemption is because he's not really contradicting himself. Elsewhere, the Rambam tells us that all these matters regarding redemption, no man knows how they will be, and they were even obscured to the prophets and to the sages. In other words, it's very hard to say, to paskin, which side is correct. When it comes to the redemption, things that didn't happen, things that were waiting for them to play out in history, how could we really say, this is the correct opinion, or this is not the correct opinion? We have to wait and see how things play out. So says the Tur Yevin, the Rambam specifically brings both opinions on these matters, because he doesn't know what it's going to be like. It doesn't make sense to the Rambam to paskin one of these opinions. Therefore, he brings both, because we don't really know what it's going to be like. And according to this Tur Yevin, what the Sa'amar Rebbe says is not really a good claim. Yes, the Rambam says we need tshuva, because that's one of the opinions in the Gemara. But the Rambam frequently brings multiple opinions when it comes to the idea of the redemption, because he brings all the opinions, because we don't know what it's going to be like in the future until it actually happens. So that's how we can answer up the Rambam based on the Tur Yevin. Now, someone who addresses this question explicitly is the Eima Banim Smecha, Rav Techtal, who we mentioned a couple of times in the last couple of Shirim here. And basically, what Rav Techtal says is based on a Medrash. The Medrash tells us how Bnei Yisrael are going to be redeemed. And it says, first, Bnei Yisrael are going to go through hardships. Then Eliyahu HaNavi comes. And then we're going to do tshuva. That's what the Medrash says here. I have it on the sheet here if you want to look inside. But that's essentially what the Medrash says. And so what we could basically say, it says the Ein Abanim Smecha, says the Rav Techtal, yes, it's true we need tshuva. The Rambam says we need tshuva in order to be redeemed. But that's already after we are living in messianic times. That's already after Eliyahu HaNavi comes, we're going to need to do tshuva. But before Eliyahu HaNavi comes, we don't need to do tshuva in order for the state of Israel to be legitimate. Maybe Eliyahu HaNavi is going to come tomorrow, it's going to come later today, and then we'll do tshuva. But in order to get the process started, doesn't necessarily mean that we need tshuva beforehand. That's basically, it's very similar, ironically, to what the Sa'amar Rebbe said. The Sa'amar Rebbe said that it's Mashiach who's going to come and then cause us to do tshuva. Says Rav Techtal, yeah, it's similar to Mashiach. It's Eliyahu HaNavi who's going to come, who's going to bring us to tshuva. But they're making opposite points. The Sa'amar Rebbe says, and therefore, since a Mashiach needs to come before we do tshuva, if Mashiach didn't come yet, it must be we're not even close to living in those times. But says Rav Techtal, no. If Eliyahu is the one that's going to cause us to do tshuva, that means that up until he comes, we're not responsible to do tshuva. And we could still be living in special times, even though he did not yet come. So that's Rav Techtal's approach. We could also answer this question based on something the Chafetz Chaim says. The Chafetz Chaim, he has a small kuntris, a small pamphlet called The Kuntris Tzipia LeYoshua, yearning for the salvation, for the redemption. The Chafetz Chaim talks about a couple of these issues. And the Chafetz Chaim in source number 23 here basically says they're both right. And the times of Mashiach, right before Mashiach comes, there's going to be a group of people that are going to do tshuva. And you look over there beautifully in the Chafetz Chaim's words, he describes how this doesn't necessarily mean tshuva, that we're all going to go from Rashaim to Tzadikim Gemurim. He talks about really beautiful words that just being a Jew, Bizman Hazeh, and all the hardships that we face, and all the money that we have to sacrifice in tuition, and for mitzvos, and the bizyonos, and disgraces that we have to go through, in order to just be a Jew, that already is tshuva. That already is redemption. So So there's going to be some people who are at the who have the status of doing tshuva, and there's other people who are not going to do tshuva. But the Chafetz Chaim says that both of them are going to usher in the redemption in their own ways. Very similar to what we saw Rav Kook say a couple shiurim ago. Rav Kook said that there's going to be the people who are the quote-unquote sinners, who on the outside look like sinners, who are going to set the stage for the physical preparation of Eretz Yisrael, the physical manifestation of Geula. And then there's going to be the people who are the more traditional Torah Mitzvot Jews who are going to set the stage and get us ready for the spiritual redemption. And that's exactly what the Chafetz Chaim is saying. And actually, Rav Kook did learn under the Chafetz Chaim for a period of time. So maybe this is where he got this idea from. But both are needed. You could hold like the Rambam that we need tshuva, but still say that doesn't mean everyone needs to do tshuva, and we could still be living in the Eschalta de Geula as well. And now another approach. Another fascinating approach is the approach that we can glean from the Bali Atosos on the Torah. Normally we have Tosos on the Gemara, but they also have a Parash on the Torah in Parshas Bahar, which we read a few weeks ago. The Bali Atosos were commenting on the laws of Avadim. The Torah says if you're an Eved and you're not redeemed before Yovel comes, then once Yovel comes, you're free to go. And the Pasuk says, V'im lo yiga'al be'ela, if you're not redeemed with these things. Be'ela is referring to a family member or someone else paying for you to be redeemed. Im lo yiga'al be'ela, then it says you're going to go free at the year of Yovel, in the 50th year. The Tosfos says, when it says be'ela, it's really a remez, it's really a reference to be'ela, the word e'la in the Parsha of Mishpatim. Be'ela Mishpatim. And this pasuk could be learned on two different levels. It's not just talking about the laws of Avadim going free on the Yovel year, the laws of slaves going free in the Jubilee year, but it's talking about B'nai Yisrael as a whole. How are we going to go free at the end of days? How are we going to go free when redemption comes? So says the Tosfos, what the pasuk is alluding to is in lo yigo be'ela. What is Eila? Eila mishpatim asher tasim lefneim. If we're not redeemed with the mitzvos, we are laid out in Parsha Mishpatim, which is the Parsha that lists many of the mitzvos, then it says, v'yotzu b'shnas ha-yovel, you're still going to go out in Yovel. And the Bali Atosfos says, what does this mean? It means that B'nai Yisrael are going to be redeemed because at least they kept one mitzvah. What mitzvah was it? The mitzvah of lo yeh lecha elokim acherim. The mitzvah of avoiding, of not having any idols, the mitzvah of idolatry, not having any idolatry, because we don't have any other gods. Just by that alone, B'nai Yisrael is worthy of being redeemed. And this fits in with the Gemara in Horio, Stav Chesem and Aleph. The Gemara in Horio says, Ezohi mitzvah shehi shkula k'nei kol mitzvah. What mitzvah is considered equal to all the mitzvos? Havi Yomer zu avodah zarah. Avodah zarah is, in a certain sense, equal to all the other mitzvos. And therefore, based on this Bali Tosfos, we can answer up the Rambam. Yes, the Rambam says you need to do tshuva. But does tshuva necessarily mean keeping all 613 mitzvos? Not necessarily. Maybe it means tshuva from having foreign gods. Whatever foreign gods means, whatever idolatry, whatever avodah zarah means in our generation, if we avoid that, if we do tshuva for that, then Mashiach's going to come. So Rambam's not necessarily talking about tshuva in all 613 mitzvos. And the last approach I want to leave you with is something that they also found in the Eim Abanim Smicha, who quotes the Chassam Sofer. The Chassam Sofer says the following. The Chassam Sofer proves that the word tshuva doesn't necessarily mean repentance in the normal sense of the way. We think of tshuva as looking at our lives and saying, which mitzvos did I keep well, and which mitzvos did I not keep well? And let me repent for the mitzvos I didn't keep well or didn't keep. Tshuva in Tanakh has another connotation. Tshuva could also mean tshuva el haaretz, returning to the land, returning to Eretz Yisrael. So says the Chassam Sofer, that's what the Rambam means. The Rambam doesn't mean we have to do tshuva. it means that we have to return to Eretz Yisrael. If we return to Eretz Yisrael, or at least most of us return to Eretz Yisrael, then that will be the tshuva that will usher in Mashiach. And this is said explicitly by Rav Yehuda Al-Kaloi. And you have a picture of him on the page here. He was a contemporary of Tzvi Hirsch Kalischer, who we quoted in previous shurim, and really the forerunners of religious Zionist thought. And he says this idea as well. There's two types of tshuva. There's tshuva on individual mitzvahs that a person does, but there's tshuva as a nation. Tshuva as a nation means that we return to Eretz Yisrael. And once we do that, we could usher in the days of Mashiach. And I like to quote the Tal Chaim. The Tal Chaim is written by Rav Reuven Sasson. He's the current Rosh Yeshiva of Yeshivat Ramat HaSharon in Israel. And he is the author of many Sfarim, Tal Chaim, and the Sfarim of Be'or Panecha. Amazing, amazing Sfarim. I consider him one of my Rebbeim, even though I never met him, just because I learned so much of his Sfarim. And he says it's beautifully, and I'll read the English, although it doesn't really do justice to his poetic Hebrew here. But he says the depth of the matter is that certainly, Israel is the opening and the gate to godliness. The return of the exiles is in itself returning to Hashem. Practically, Israel is the aspect of the body of the nation of Israel. And the return to Israel is a revelation of the light of repentance on the external plane, which is rectifying the body. And this is the theme that we've been seeing throughout all of these shiurim, that we can never lose sight that there's two very important aspects. There's the physical aspect and the spiritual aspect. The returning to Eretz Yisrael is the first step of fixing our physical aspect, the Gashmi aspect, the guf, the body of the Jewish people. And then there's also the spiritual aspect. And all these fighting that we have between the Zionists and the anti-Zionists, it's really a question of which part are you talking about? Are you talking about the spiritual aspects, the spiritual nature of Mashiach, or the physical nature of Mashiach? And what we've seen is that if we talk about the physical element, which is according to religious Zionist thought, the vital ingredient to usher in the days of Mashiach, then we could be very much living in those days. And hopefully what we've seen throughout these whole shiurim is that these are not just based on feelings, these debates on I'm a Zionist, I'm not a Zionist, I like Israel, I don't like Israel. Obviously, it's much deeper than that. Obviously, the whole point of these shiurim were to show you that it's all based on the Mar Makomos. It's all based on the Psukim and the Gemaras, how we learn certain Gemaras, the Rishonim and the Achronim, how we learn these sources is really like a sugya and halacha, like we learn all the time. So I give everyone a bracha that we should conclude with a bracha that we won't have to talk about these topics so much, although I had a lot of fun learning with everyone here. But we usher in, we want to daven that the day's Mashiach will be ushered in very soon, very quickly, that we'll be living in the days of Mashiach before we know it, where all these questions will just be academic, and we'll be all living in Eretz Yisrael with Mashiach. Tzidkenu b'mehera b'yameinu. Thank you everyone for coming. As always, if anyone wants to stay on for any questions, I'll be here. But if not, then I wish everyone an amazing week, amazing Shavuos, and hopefully see everyone very soon. Yes, how are you? No problem. Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.